Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us to get out of the boat. In Jesus' name, amen. So a long time ago, I attended a few of the conferences at Willow Creek in Chicago. My brother-in-law lived there. It was easy to go and visit him and then go over to the conference, and I got to meet a guy named John Ortberg. He wrote a whole bunch of books, but the one that applies to today was one that he says, if you want to walk on the water, you have to get out of the boat. Now, if I'd been his editor, I would have then added a subtitle, and you have to be ready to get really wet. Only Peter was brave enough to step out of the boat, and I'm sure that the other disciples were very grateful that they didn't make the same mistake, except it wasn't a mistake. You see, faith can only be strengthened by stretching it. There's a lot to examine in this passage. By the way, why would Peter say, if it's you, Lord, tell me to come to you on the water? Because if it was a ghost, as they originally thought, or Satan, wouldn't that ghost or Satan say, come on out and watch him drown? We know why Peter took his eyes off Jesus. We all would have. It's human nature to lose situational awareness and suddenly look around and realize that we've taken a huge step of faith and we're not sure we're ready. And what was Jesus doing walking out to the boat in the first place? I mean, we know he's God. But what was the purpose? If he is going to violate the laws of water surface tension, why not just surf all the way to the other side? And why be within the capability of the apostles seeing him? Now, the best answer is Jesus was setting Peter up for this exact moment. Just like that time when Jesus told the disciples, why don't you guys go into town and get something to eat? And Jesus used that time to meet with the woman at the well and to change her life. So if you were to take a chance and ask Jesus to let you walk on water, what do you think it'd be like? And by the way, I hope you know we're not actually talking about walking on water here. We're talking about stretching your faith by doing something that you've always thought of, but have been afraid to actually step out and do. Peter climbed out of the boat during a storm and actually took a few steps before losing situational awareness and starting to sink. Now notice the words, started to sink. He didn't immediately become a submarine and go underneath the water. No. It was all done in slow motion with the disciples watching him. There was enough time for him to cry out, save me, Lord. And Jesus did. So back to you letting Jesus stretch your faith a little bit. And we have to be careful here. In another story, there's a man whose son is dying. He comes to Jesus and he says, can you heal my son? Jesus says, well, everything is possible for those who believe. And the man says, so I believe. Now, help me with my unbelief. Now, there are churches that teach if you have enough faith, you will never get sick. You will never have any financial problems. You're never going to go through any disasters or accidents. You are going to be blessed beyond measure, and you are going to die an old man or an old woman with their 75 grandchildren standing around you singing Amazing Grace. Now, the problem with that is it makes you better than Jesus, because Jesus cried and he was hungry and he got beaten up. He had to take money out of a fish's mouth in order to pay the temple tax. He wound up getting crucified. Do you see the problem with such theology? So why did Peter want to walk on the water? I mean, it is a pretty cool party trick. But all of the things that you could ask Jesus to do, would that be the one that you would choose? See, the language here is deep. Peter knows he can't just step out of the boat and start walking on water. He actually tells Jesus, command me to do this. He puts the ball in Jesus' court. Now, if you want me to, if you'll allow me to, then I know it'll be okay because you're God and I'm not. Peter initiates the conversation. He's exercising both his faith and his freedom. I think we handle prayer this way a lot. Hey, God, I have a need, but only if you're okay with it. I mean, it'll make my life so much easier. It will solve a whole bunch of my problems, and I have been pretty good lately. So if you wouldn't mind, please take care of this for me. We tell God what we want, but we make it sound like it's his idea. That way, if things go wrong, we can blame him, and if things go right, we can take the credit. Now contrast Peter's story with Joseph in his amazing technicolor dream coat. Joseph has all these great ideas, and he keeps bragging to everybody else about just how great he is and how chosen he is and how God has chosen him above everybody else. And his brothers get tired of the bragging. They strip him of the coat, and they sell him to a band of wandering Midianites. And he becomes a slave and then winds up in prison where he has to either translate dreams correctly for the Pharaoh or lose his life. Joseph has no control, no choices. He's just along for the ride. So which would you prefer? And which one takes greater faith? Both require you to know that God has your life in his hands. As Jeremiah said, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I mean, those are easy words for us to speak on Sunday mornings, but sometimes they're a lot harder for us to actually live out. So would you rather tell God what you wanted him to do and then give God some specific instructions on how it should take place? Or would it be okay to be in the backseat just watching the scenery go by, having no idea where you're going and when you're going to get there? Peter was persistent. He was arrogant. He was brash. But he was also a man of deep faith. I mean, one minute he says, Jesus, you are the Son of the living God. And the next minute, stop talking the nonsense about being crucified. This will never happen to you. Peter had life all figured out. I mean, Zig Ziglar and Norman Vincent Peale, the whole positivist people, man, they would have loved him, always pushing and dreaming and controlling things and claiming their destiny. The faith we proclaim, the prayers we pray, the theology that we believe, it can so easily get attached to our own plans, our own dreams, our own desires. We twist faith to justify our own ends. We believe or we want something. So we create a theology or we find a theology that agrees with us. We find a verse here or there in the Bible that agrees with us and we say, aha, it's biblical. It's one of the reasons people don't want anything to do with the church. How can two, or even a lot more than that, churches all say completely different things about the same thing, all of them claiming it's biblical, when it's impossible for them all to be right? Now, the answer to that question goes back to Peter and Joseph. If we think we can control our faith and our destiny and our theology, we can't. We can step out of the boat all confident and proud, but we aren't Jesus, and so we are going to sink. And as much as we want to believe what we believe, our faith is only as good as that which we believe in. So a long time ago, when I was working at my doctorate, we got to meet some of the top pastors in the nation. We got to have some one-on-one time. It was absolutely amazing. One of the toughest was when we met at a coffee shop with a pastor who had founded a church and pushed a form of health and wealth gospel. And he said, this is a reward for your faith. And following the Holy Spirit and listening to the Holy Spirit will bring you pretty much everything that you want. And all that was great until he was diagnosed with an inoperable brain tumor. He prayed for healing. It didn't come. I always wondered what his last hours were like as he met Jesus face to face. I don't doubt his faith, and I know why he did what he did. But how do you explain that to Jesus? Jesus reaches through the waves and the wind as we start to sink, pulls us into his arms, sets us back inside the boat. He sets us into a community that watched us try to walk on water and sink. He doesn't yell at us and say, what were you thinking? Because he knows what we were thinking. You see, he knows us inside and out. Nothing is a surprise to him. So I put us back among people that watched us make a fool of ourselves. The church is not perfect. It's not even practically perfect. It's a community that gathers around the cross and who in many and various ways have all in various times and moments cried out, save me, Jesus. And across the spectrum of our faith and our doubt, Jesus does save us. You know, the greatest churches are not the largest. They're not the prettiest. The greatest are the ones who know the power of the law and the gospel and trust in the forgiveness of God. There's an old Bob Newhart skit where he plays Dr. Switzer, a no-nonsense therapist. He charges $5 for the first 5 minutes. And by the way, all the minutes after that are completely and totally free. And by the way, I know this was like 30 years ago, but still, just think about it. So the patient begins to tell him what the problem is. And Bob Newhart simply says, "Stop it." And as the person tries to explain, excuse, blame, Bob Newhart just keeps saying, "Stop it." You can look it up on YouTube. If only it were that simple. If only we could just stop being a sinner. If only we could choose to have more faith. If only it was as simple as making a decision. "Jesus, let me step out of the boat and walk on water. Let me be a better spouse, find a better job, love my neighbor, stop being addicted, save money, go to church more, care for myself better." I mean, wouldn't that be great? Make a decision, and it's done. I'm not going to speak for you, but my life of faith has been a lot more like Joseph. Only I don't have an amazing Technicolor dream coat. I do have a red silk professional bull rider's jacket from the National Finals Rodeo in Oklahoma City back in the 70s, but that's not quite the same. I've got a lot of great plans, but I'm not sure I'm brave enough to ask Jesus to let me step out of the boat and walk on water. Instead, I find myself being taken captive by culture and fears, doubt, pain, all of the things that cause you, well, to be part of the world instead of faith. I know God has everything in his hands. It's just that I wish that he would tell me where we're going and how we're going to get there and how it's all going to, but yeah, that's what I really want to know. How's it all going to play out? And could he give me just a little bit of control over it? But the truth is, my faith is challenged and pushed as I'm dragged along. Some of you are new to the Jesus story. Some of you have been listening to the Jesus story since you were babies. Most of us have had a preacher tell us that all we needed was more faith. And it hurt us because we tried and we failed. We've seen the miracles people claim. And sometimes we wonder, why them and not me? And other times we say, wait a minute, if those miracles are actually possible, why not everyone? See, I'd love to promise that if you were to step out of the boat, that you could walk on water today. That I believed in you. And by the way, I do believe in you. But I'm pretty sure that if any of us step out, the only thing that's going to happen to us is that we're going to get really, really wet. And if Jesus isn't around, we're going to need somebody else to rescue us. I put a kiddie pool in the back of the sanctuary today with just a tiny bit of water so that everybody could say that they walked on water. Because they are. I mean, their shoes are going to be above the water, so they're walking on the water. I know that's not what we're talking about in the gospel lesson here. But you see, sometimes that's exactly what we have to do. We take a step that seems silly, and then when we realize that what it's really about, it allows us to look to Jesus and say, "This is as good as I can do, Jesus. If it's going to be anything beyond this, it's going to have to be all you and none of me." See, what I want to tell you today is the story of a God who created the universe and who created you. A God who didn't give up on us when we rebelled and tried to become our own gods. Even when we turned a deaf ear, this God continued to speak to us through the prophets, the apostles, and the evangelists to remind us that he still loves us. And in the fullness of time, this God, who is our God, sent his Son into our world to be our Savior. Jesus ate with sinners. He scoffed at the powerful. He went toe-to-toe with the religious elite, all those people that thought they knew more than everybody else, including God. He loved the loveless. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, gave water to the thirsty, and he gave hope to the hopeless. And even though, or actually because he did all that, we nailed him to a cross and killed him. Nietzsche was right, by the way, for exactly 3 days, God was dead. But then on the third day, Jesus walked out of the grave and he held up those beautiful nail-scarred hands and he said, "Peace be with you." That's a rather strange greeting for people who put you to death. but that's Jesus. And then Jesus said, you know, if you believe in me, oh, you're still going to die. I mean, the flesh is going to die, but it's only going to be able to hold on to you for just a second. And the very next second, you're going to be with me in heaven forever. Stepping out of a boat onto the water is cool. But it is nothing, nothing compared with stepping out of this world and into heaven. And when Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith, I hope you caught the fact that he actually said that Peter had faith. Oh, not a lot. But this is where we go to that whole parable of the mustard seed, where he says a mustard seed size of faith is enough. Don't be afraid to exercise your faith. It's made to stretch. And understand you're going to take your eyes off Jesus. You're going to start to sink once in a while. It's human nature. But always remember that Jesus is right there with you. It's never been about the amount of faith that you have. It's always been about who you have your faith in and the amount of faith that he has in you, which is amazing. Don't miss the opportunities that God offers. You're going to get wet. But it's a story that you won't mind telling over and over and over again, because it's about God and his grace and his love. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.